Well, hello everyone. Have you ever wondered how long man has been on this earth? God has a thread of time all through his inspired word. We're going to look into that. In God's 7,000 year plan, we have heard many times that God has allotted the first 6,000 years of man to go his own ways. But man's ways are about up. Remember, things that are revealed to us are in the Bible. Things not revealed to us belong to God. And that's found in, we'll turn to Deuteronomy 29, chapter 29 and verse 29. This is where it says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us, and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law, God's laws, commandments, and statutes. There is a lot of confusion in God's church today about the timing of Christ's return to this earth. Some say you can't set a date. Some think you will not know until it is obvious by watching the world events. Still others set specific dates. Who is right out of all this confusion? Now, God has given his church a dual responsibility, or in other words, two commissions of the church. We heard that just by Mr. Armstrong. Sermonette. Let's turn to Mark 16. He's talking about this, and let's see what it says in Mark. Mark chapter 16, and we'll read verse 15 and 16, where it says, Christ saying to disciples, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." First commission. 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That's the second commission, will be judged. So the first commission then we just heard is to preach the gospel to all nations as a witness to everyone. And let's turn back to chapter 1, Mark. We'll read verse 14 and 15 of Mark 1. It says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'Time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.' So go you into all the world and proclaim the good news announcement of the coming kingdom of God." And the second commission of the church is to feed my sheep. And that's as it says in John 21. And we'll turn there. John 21 and verse 16. Christ is talking to Peter. And he tells him. He said to him again, to Peter, a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." God's work of preaching the gospel has not ended. There will be no interruptions. The work of God's church of preaching the gospel message to the world does not end until 1,335 days before Christ's return. We'll get into that later. And after this, two witnesses pick up that responsibility. They're the witnesses until their death. And then after that, Christ finishes it with the seven last plagues. So let's turn to back to Matthew. Or let's turn to Matthew 24. And we'll read very familiar scripture. Kind of interesting what's happened with this scripture. I read many, many times for good reason. So that's what we're responsible for. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. What's interesting, Mr. Waterhouse used to say, talking about this scripture, what does the "and then" mean? What does it mean? He said, the "and then" has not happened yet. So the gospel continues to be preached to all the nations to the end, when Christ returns to this earth to set up the kingdom of God, ending man's 6,000 years of rule on this earth. And let's turn to Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 19-20. It's interesting what it says about man. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Now, there are two prophetic time segments in God's Word that define when Christ will return. One is in literal years, when the 6,000th year of man's history is completed. And two is in literal days, which is a prophecy that God gave to Daniel in Daniel chapter 12. There is an exact 6,000 year thread of time throughout the Bible, beginning with Adam and ending with the return of Jesus Christ. It's there. We'll go through there. Let us find out what this thread of time is and how it is leading us to the 6,000th year of the history of man. Man has been on the earth for nearly 6,000 years from the time God created the first man, Adam, and renewed the earth. In God's master plan, the Feast of Trumpets, one of God's appointed times, Moedim, is found in Genesis 1:14 and Leviticus 23, verses 1 to 4. That's the appointed time. It is, Feast of Trumpets is the pivotal point of the seven annual festivals. God the Father has an appointed time for His Son to return, and it could very well be on the Feast of Trumpets. We'll see about that later. Now let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, well, in chapter 3, we read verse 8 and 9 earlier in the announcements, but let's go through this whole thing starting with verse 3 and 4, and then we'll go there too. So in verse 3 of 2 Peter 3, knowing this first, that scoffers, and in the Moffat translation, it's called mockers, mocking things, will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, remember, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day, so that during the creation week in Genesis, Each day represents those 1,000 years. The first 6 days represent the 6,000-year history and period of man, while the seventh day, Sabbath, represents the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on this earth. And God's master plan declares the end from the beginning. Let's turn there in Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46 and we'll read verse 9 and 10. It says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." We will now examine the progression of events in time sequence order. The history of man according to God's word. Now we're going to use God's word here. From the day that the first man, Adam, was created through the history of man, which will bring us to the true 6,000th year. So let's start this thread of time by turning to Genesis. So turn to Genesis. And there are 19 generations from Adam to Abraham. You will find these various scriptures from Genesis 5 to Genesis 11. Now, we will only read the number of years for each generation from Adam to Abraham. And I'll tell you the verse, scripture for each one. So let's start there. And we'll start, of course, with Adam. Just bear with this. Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born. This would be from Genesis 5 and verse 1 to 3. Seth was 105 years old when Enosh was born, verse 6. Enosh was 90 years old when Canaan was born. That's verse 9, chapter 5. Canaan was 70 years old when Mahalalel was born. That's verse 12. Mahalalel was 65 years old when Jared was born. Verse 15. Jared was 162 years old when Enoch was born. Verse 18 of Genesis 5. Enoch was 65 years old when Methuselah was born. Verse 21. Methuselah was 187 years old when Lamech was born. Verse 25. Lamech was 182 years old when Noah was born. And that's verse 28 and 9. 29. Now Noah was 502 years old when Shem was born. And you have to combine these verses, I'll give you them, to prove that. And that's Genesis 5 verse 32, Genesis 7 verse 6, Genesis 9 and verse 29, and Genesis 10 and verse 21, and Genesis 11 and verse 10. When you combine those, you'll see that Noah was 502 years old when Shem was born. Now, Shem was 100 years old when Arphaxad was born. And that's Genesis 11, verse 10. And Arphaxad was 35 years old when Sarai was born. And that's Genesis 11 and verse 12. And the rest will be in Genesis 11. And notice the early years that they were being born, the children. Sela was 30 years old when Eber was born. Verse 14, Genesis 11. Eber was 34 years old when Peleg was born. Verse 16. Peleg was 30 years old when Reu was born, verse 18 of Genesis 11. Reu was 32 years old when Serug was born, verse 20. Serug was 30 years old when Nahor was born, verse 22. Nahor was 29 years old when Terah was born, verse 24. And Terah was 130 years old when Abraham was born. Now here it is again, you have to combine a number of scriptures to prove that, like it was in Noah. And that's in Genesis 11, verse 26. And verse 32, Genesis 12 and verse 4, and you can find that out in Acts chapter 7 and verse 2 to 4. So what happens when you have those few sons that were born to these men? You'll find out that the first listed is the last one born, but you have to prove it with God's scriptures, and it's always provable. Now, all 19 generations are documented in successive order from the creation of Adam to the birth of Abraham. And God did this for our example for creating his cumulative thread of time. It's cumulative. It's added on. When you add each of these times from one generation to another, you will come out with 2,008 years, cumulative years. Now, according to Genesis 12, and let's turn there. Genesis 12, and we'll start with verse 1. Of course, we know these are the promises given to Abraham. Now, the Lord had said to Abraham, or Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abraham took Sarai, his wife, Sarah, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. In verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now with the promises from God, Abraham left Haran and came to the land of Canaan when he was 75 years old. So now we have a total of 2,008 years plus 75, which is 2,083 cumulative years. From the time Abraham's footprints left Haran and entered Canaan until the exodus of Israel when their footprints left Egypt was exactly 430 years to the very same day. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and we'll read verse 40 and 41. This is when Israel was coming out of Egypt. So the sojourn, or length of stay is what that word means, of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt. And you'll notice it was 430 years. That Egypt there is properly translated Egypt and Canaan, or Canaan and Egypt. That was the whole region back then, which was called in some way called Egypt, but that's the proper translation or understanding of that, and we'll see about that here shortly. So the sojourning of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt, or more correctly, Canaan and Egypt, according to the New King James margin, and the Septuagint has that, was 430 years. And you can show that and prove that in other scriptures. As we saw, the word sojourn is an important key word to understand the timing, because sojourn means the length of stay, to stay as a temporary resident, or is where your footprints carry you. So according to Hebrews, and let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, and we'll read verse 8 to 10. Faith chapter. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt, or sojourned in the King James Version, in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we know that the children of Jacob or Israel were also the children of Abraham, because Abraham was the grandfather of Jacob, and by faith Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Mr. Armstrong mentioned many times in his radio broadcast that the children of Israel came out of Egypt the exact same day, 430 years later, after Abraham came into Canaan. And this is interesting. Also, the Jewish historian Josephus makes the same statement in his Antiquities of the Jews in Book 1 and Chapter 10 and Paragraph 2. And I have that Antiquities with me. And it's interesting because this is a historian that lived 2,000 years ago, and he had a huge number of references and history back then, of back before then, which a lot has been lost. But here's what he writes about this. He says, they, the Israelites, left Egypt in the month of, and what he's saying, Abib, on the 15th day of the lunar month, 430 years after our forefather Abraham came into Canaan, but 215 years only after Jacob removed into Egypt. And you can count that up from the time Abraham came into Canaan, and the time Jacob went into Egypt, that's exactly 215 years. 215 years later is when Israel left Egypt to go back into the promised land. So now we have a total of 2,083 years plus 430. It gives us 2,513 cumulative years from the creation of Adam. A note, Egyptian history shows us that the time of Moses, the time that Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, was 1447 BC. And there was a particular Egyptian pharaoh back there, Thutmose III, which has been documented. That's that same time frame. And we know from archaeology and world history that Solomon, God's word, began his reign as king of Israel in 971 BC, and he also began to build God's temple in Jerusalem in 967 BC. And let's turn to 1 Kings. And we'll be able to prove this from God's word here. So let's, 1 Kings. And we'll go to chapter 6 of 1 Kings. And read verse 1. Okay, it says, it came to pass in the 480th year, after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, and all it is, that's Ayer, that's the second month, it's April or May, and actually that, why it's Ziv, is it, that's the month that blossoms come out in all the olive trees. It's called, it's another word for brilliance at that time. So that's the second month, it's Ayer, that he began to build the house of the Lord. And that's 480 years. And that's the real translation, the correct translation for that number of years. So scripture tells us that Solomon's temple was started in the fourth year of his reign, 480 years after the children of Israel left Egypt. Now we have a total of 2,513 years plus 480, which gives us 2,993 cumulative years from the creation of Adam. From 967 BC, at the time of Solomon's temple, that it began to be built, to this current year, 2022 AD, which we're in now, there is now a total of 5,981 years will have elapsed. So we go through BC and into AD. And there is no year zero, so that's included in there, adding that in there, a year. We see that we are just 19 years now, in 2022, we see that we are just 19 years from the 6,000th year. 5,981 plus 19 is 6,000. And we also notice that 22 plus 19 equals, and that's going out to 2041, the year 2041. And that's the calculated, it's important, that's the calculated 6,000th year from the creation of Adam. That's important to note. And I'll explain that a little bit. It's a calculated. It doesn't mean that that's when it's going to happen. We'll see here the reason why. However, we cannot say, like we're saying here, that that is the true 6,000th year. It's calculated by the numbers in God's word, but it's not the true 6,000th year. Why? Why is that? It's because we have to realize that during the 19 generations from Adam until Abraham, we did not know the exact time of the year that they were born. We knew the year, but we didn't know when in that year for each one. Now, there's a way of handling this. God has, he has that for us, but you have to research it out. Therefore, based on a standard engineering design approach, and I would say God is the greatest design engineer, and especially in his word, what we can do, we will set each generation's birth date to be in the middle of the year. Then we will apply a tolerance band of plus 1/2 to minus 1/2 for each year of the 19 generations. That will take care of this within that year for each one. This results in a 19-year range of plus 9.5 years to minus 9.5 years, wrapped around the calculated 6,000th year, which is 2041. This means that the range of 19 years starts in right at 2031 and ends in 2050. Now, going still further, the most likely range for the true 6,000th year would probably fall within 2037 and 2045. And I'm going to show a chart here. I'm going to just show you the combined chart and go through that. See if I can make sure I do this. Okay, I believe all can see this now. So we're going to concentrate on the 6,000th year. The Daniel's prophecy, we'll go into that later. But as you see, here's time now. See this vertical line, 2022, somewhere early in the year. That's where we are, February. And then you go over to, and just like we calculated, now 2041, which is right in the center here. Remember, that was a calculated 6,000th year. But that's just to get us into the right time frame. We have to apply that tolerance band that God lays out. And he didn't tell us in each of those years that those men were born in the first 19 generations. He did not tell us when during. So we do this. And it takes care of that band, that unsurety, that tolerance. And when you come out, actually it rounds up being 2031 AD and stretches out to 2050 AD, which this is the true 6,000th year of the history of man, is within this overall range here. And then I'll let you know a little bit about this. The most likely range we just talked about 2037 to 2045, within that range, that's the most likely range. But still, it could be within this whole range. So what it is that this range of most likely, I'll explain to you a little bit, is that if you take each of those 19 generations and do a random number generator and guess which part of the year they were born, you could estimate that for each generation and you would come out with a set number, either here, here, or here, and anywhere in here. And when you do that over quite a number of repeats, of iterations, of each 19-year iteration, over quite a number of times, you'll find out that it converges to this most likely range. When you add all those 19 generations and give it just in a normal marriage, having children during 19 generations, that's where would norm probably fall in this range. But it still could be out here too. Doesn't leave it out. It could still be there too. Because we don't know how that happened back then. And God has that for a reason, just so we won't be able to set a specific time and latch on to it. This is a correct approach. So we see that man, and let me go ahead and come out of this. I think I... Let me see here. Okay. Let me see. So we see that man has been on this earth for nearly 6,000 years from the time God created the first man, Adam, and renewed the earth. We shall now concentrate on just the few years before the true 6,000th year and the last days before the true 6,000th year. So in God's master plan, the Feast of Trumpets is identified as a pivotal point of the 7 annual festivals. God the Father has an appointed time for his Son to return and it could very well be on the Feast of Trumpets. And let's see what Mr. Armstrong said in his the booklet, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which is on page 30. And I'll turn there and read a section of it. He says here that, and perhaps the glorious second coming shall occur in whatever year it may be, on this very day, the Feast of Trumpets. Who knows? While we cannot say for certain, yet cannot we see that possibility? It's a very good possibility, is what he's saying. The crucifixion was upon the Passover day, the very day. The Holy Spirit came, beginning the selecting of the first fruits of salvation on the very day of Pentecost. God's appointed time then. Had not those 120 disciples been observing this annual Sabbath, had they not been assembled there in holy convocation, could they have received that blessing of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit? Repeatedly, Jesus warned us to watch regarding his second coming. Could it be possible that unless we are observing the Feast of Trumpets, as the first century Church of God was observing Pentecost, that we shall not be ready or caught up to meet him? We do not know, we cannot, of course, say, but we do ask the question, is it not possible? Let us humbly and willingly yield to walk obedient in all of the light. And then he goes further into the Feast of Trumpets. So it's interesting at the statement that he made, and perhaps the glorious second coming shall occur in whatever year it may be. On this very day of the Feast of Trumpets, cannot we see this possibility? Now, God says that he will protect his church for 3.5 years before the return of Christ. We see that in Revelation 12, and let's turn there. Let's turn to Revelation 12. Revelation 12 and verse 14. We say, talk about God's church. And the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle. It's an interesting point too. 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Now, let's turn to Daniel 12. And we will get into Daniel 12 prophecy and the template that will result from that. Daniel chapter 12, and we'll start off by reading verse 4. Of course, this is a vision. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood 2 others, one on this side of the riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And that was the time of the Jacob's trouble I was talking about earlier in the chapter. Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for time, times, and half a time, and when the power of the holy people shall be completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. So we know now that this is talking about God's church being in the place of safety for 3.5 years, or 1260 days of the great tribulation and day of the Lord leading up to the return of Christ on the Feast of Trumpets. Now, given this information, let's continue now in Daniel chapter 12 with verse 8. It says, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand. But this is interesting, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits in hope and comes to the 1,335 days. So there you have two of those other days. But you, Daniel, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Now, the key to understanding this prophecy is which days is this last phrase in verse 13. What is it referring to? At the end of the days. Which days? It is referring to the 1,335 days, 1,290 days, and 1,260 days, which all end at the resurrection of the saints, including Daniel, and the return of Christ. God will keep his promise to Daniel, and he will also keep this same promise to us when this time actually comes, at the end of the days. Only those that God inspires will know that the work of the church in preaching the gospel message has ended, and to make ready to flee to the place of safety from the soon coming great tribulation. It will be an inspiration from God. But there's a good thing to know about this. As it states in Lesson 44, page 6 of the Ambassador Bible Correspondence Course, everything prophesied will happen right on schedule. And in this case, right at the appointed time at the return of Christ on the Feast of Trumpets. So we'll now read Mr. Armstrong's personal, and I'll just read just the first section of this, which he wrote about in 1980, Good News. And this is where we get the understanding about the work. Preaching gospel, he says, never before have we understood these periods of 1,260 days, 1,290 days, and 1,335 days. But it seems evident now, a blessing is pronounced on us, God's church, who wait and endure until the 1,335 days, approximately 1,335 days prior to Christ's coming. So it's approximately. Mr. Armstrong didn't know that exact time either, but we will know it at a certain time in the future. So the work of God's church ends at the 1,335 days, which God calls, in a way, the famine of the word. That's when all that starts. So who continues preaching the gospel? God's work of preaching the gospel to the world as a witness continues from there with the two witnesses until just before the very end of the days, as stated in Matthew 24:14. They're witnesses of the true gospel too, in addition to all that God has going to have them go through during that quite exciting and terrible time. So God wants us to wait, expecting that favorable outcome until the 1,335 days prior to Christ's coming. When that comes, the 1,335 days come, God's people will begin to prepare to leave for the place of safety. At this time, we'll be tried and tested, and maybe even also before then, but we will hear. And about 45 days later, it will take a tremendous amount of godly faith to finally leave. Our families, many friends in the church and God's congregations of His church. But when Christ returns, will He really find faith on this earth, as it says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8? Will God's people be waiting in faith with expectation, with wisdom, as we saw in Daniel, with assurance, it's a faith, and the understanding for the proper timing when God will end the work of the church and we start preparing for the departure later to the place of safety? God will send His Son back at the appointed time. We know that. Those are God's holy days, festivals. We will be in the place of safety or the place of final training for 1,260 days. But as you see, this is important, as you see, we have to be prepared to leave well ahead of that time. Well ahead of that time. Now, God wants us to be prepared any time, but especially in this time frame. Some key scriptures about proper timing now is when Christ is talking directly to the disciples. He's talking to them during their time. And they thought He was going to return later during their time. And that's found in Mark and Matthew. We'll just go through a few of these to show how to look at this in a better way when you match it with what Daniel's prophecy is about. Mark 13. Mark 13 and verse 32 says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And verse 35, it says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening," this is important, "in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning." So those are hours within the day. Now let's turn to Matthew 24. And we'll read verse 44. "Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see..." Well, wait a second. Matthew 24, 44. I'm in the wrong chapter here. Let's see. Okay. Verse 44 of Matthew 24 is, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." At an hour you do not expect. And now, Matthew 25, talking about the five wise and five foolish version, we definitely want to be part of the five wise. In verse 13, this is interesting one. It says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And that's an implied and conjunction. These are all conjunctions. It was implied in the main thing, which the disciples wouldn't know. It was never going to be in their time, but they thought it was. And He's talking to them, the disciples. So when God uses the conjunction of day and hour, He really saying, you won't know the hour on that particular day. When you put those together, only God the Father knows the exact hour on that day when His Son, Jesus Christ, with His angels, with His holy angels, arrives to this earth at the end of the days on the Feast of Trumpets, as mentioned in the book of Daniel and other places. Now let me bring the chart back up here. Oh, Okay, we're going back to the chart now. Now we can talk about Daniel's template, and that's this right here. This is Daniel's template, and it's got the 1335 days from that point, and then everything's measured from there to, or from there, and then 1290 days to the Feast of Trumpets. These are all to the Feast of Trumpets now. You see the lines are right here. This is a 1335 right here to the Feast of Trumpets. This is the 1290, this middle short line here. I staggered them so you could tell. 1290 to the Feast of Trumpets or Christ's return. And then there's the 1260, which is this smaller, just above the purple here band, which is that continued here, and I shaded it because this is the time that the church is in the place of safety until Christ returns, and we're showing that that would be at the Feast of Trumpets. So now when you combine both the 6,000th year over here that we went through earlier with Daniel 12 template here, this is what it looks like. We have the complete picture coming into the end time. Now, what's interesting to note is that this past January 27th, 2022, just about a month ago, an important event that could have happened to the church, which would have led up to the most significant event ever to happen on this earth, 1335 days later, the return of Jesus Christ on the Feast of Trumpets, would have been September 23rd, 2025. But wait now. But wait. Of course, as we know, this did not happen. God's work, the church, didn't end then. And what about next year? Now we're talking about 2023. January 16th, 2023 will be 1335 days before the Feast of Trumpets, which will fall on September 12th, 2026, over here. Now, this is important here. I'll probably go through a couple times here that when the time now line, that's this line here, reaches the actual 1335 days, that line, the template, then the template, and God's work continues, then the template is adjusted to the next year and continues adjusting in the same manner each year until the work of God's church finally ends somewhere within, and we'll finally get over here, within this tolerance band of the true 6,000th year. So this tolerance band, this template, Daniel's template, moves each year that the work continues. And you can see it's moving here. It moves. Time now keeps moving to the actual time. You go to the next year and time then continues that previous year all the way up until that January, February time frame. And you reach the 1335 days template. Then you continue on. And it's going to continue on and until it moves into this large tolerance band of the true 6,000th year. And then finally, when that becomes active, when that work finally ends of God's church, then this template becomes active and it's set for whatever year that is. We don't know which year that is, but it's somewhere in this range by all God's word and the calculations and history and all that we know. Now, this combined chart, that's a clear visualization of God's word in action. That's what we're just seeing as we approach the end of the 6,000 years. And Mr. Armstrong has mentioned that God is always on time. Yes, this is the prophetic good news announcement that God's kingdom is going to be here right on time as seen by the chart. And for those, this is interesting, I just thought I'd include this, for those listening to this message later on the internet, you can request this chart, if you'd like, by writing in the contact information on this website, Church of God Little Flock. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and verse 36 says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand therefore and to stand before the Son of Man." The important thing to remember is that watching world events, it's right for us to do that, are only indicators of the end time, as we're seeing now in world history now what's happening. They're indicators. We're in sorrows right now, as we see. But the actual critical timing for the church to prepare to leave to the place of safety will probably begin at the 1335 days. That's what we're seeing everywhere in God's Word. We have to always prepare at any time, but especially in this timing. And it results in that January-February time frame. God wants us to be prepared and tells us that the wise will understand, but the foolish will refuse to believe it. They'll refuse to believe, like it says in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where the people let go of prophetic vision. Now, God has revealed by scriptures, world history, and archaeology only a range of years when the history of man will come to an end. The 6,000 years of man are almost over, but we need to wait on God to fulfill these days, as it says in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 12, "Blessed is he who waits." And now let's turn to Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. This is an interesting one. Even Mr. Armstrong mentioned that earlier. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." God will take care of us. So let us all be diligent and ready when that time comes. Now remember, God the Father sets the time of Christ's return. As it states, and this is in Lesson 44 of the Correspondence Course on page 7. God the Father knows exactly when the 6,000th year finally comes. And on the Feast of Trumpets of that year, at the end of the days, as it says in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 13, and at the exact hour that he alone only knows, will send his Son back to set up God's kingdom on this earth. Also remember that Daniel's prophecy in chapter 12 always brings us back to this time period, 75 days before the spring festivals, that January-February time frame, before the spring festivals. And knowing all this, how much more important it is for us as God's first fruits to be prepared for the upcoming Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread and Pentecost. We need to understand the importance of Christ's sacrifice and how much we need God's Spirit to overcome in this life and be ready for God's kingdom when Christ returns.